We're thankful for the opportunity to come back to you with the second lesson on But Whom Say Ye? And it has been revealed to us that we cut off our message too soon. We cut it off short. You say, well, people don't fuss at a preacher for preaching too little. They fuss at a preacher too long. Friend, you don't know this church. We've been meeting together for 47 years. And we have been trying to base the ministry here on the Word of God, nothing else. Not social programs or anything else. Expounding the Word of God. And for many, many years, we had a cassette tape ministry. We sent them things out all over the world. We had one young lady made sure that they were fish bowls, like you see goldfish in, sitting at truck stops. And they'd go by and fill them up, and truckers could come by and reach in there and get a tape and listen to it on the way down the road. We put them in prison. We sent them to hospitals. We sent them to anybody that wanted them. Sent them to any country there was. Basically, it was the C60, which was a 60-minute cassette tape. Well, that kind of set the pace for how long the man was to preach. He was to preach up to 60 minutes and stop, so we could get it on that C60 cassette tape. Well, that kind of got to be the way that we governed the length of the ministry, and the length of the preaching, rather. And I've had people come up to me and said, I just can't stand it when you say it's time to cut it off, even though it was 60 minutes. So, friend, this is not just an average religious order. This has been a church that's been raised up by God to listen to it and hear the Word of God. And it's a great responsibility on my part, but it's not beyond the calling that God has given us, that we would expound the Word and open up the Scriptures to the peoples of the Lord. That's the way it's always supposed to have been, but it's not been that way, sadly, in America for many years in every religious order. All right, let us go back to Matthew chapter 16, and let me set my watch right so I can make sure that I adhere to the timing. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Dear soul, you can be involved in churchianity for many, many years in your life, and you can say, well, this is who we say the Son of God is. But it's going to come down to this. Who do you say the Son of God is? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Upon this rock, this foundation of you being apostle, the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets. So this foundation of God revealing himself to the hearts of God's people as to who Christ is, that's the foundation that I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You cannot destroy this kind of God-anointed revelation of faith. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. If you will stay on this rock and stay on this principle that you know that Jesus of Nazareth is very God, and you profess that yourself, you believe it yourself, the Holy Spirit has shown it to you yourself, and that's the ministry that you carry on, it cannot be destroyed. Yes, you can have some hard knocks. You can have some very serious trials, and you will, but it won't be destroyed. And he said, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he charged Let me read it right. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. No man hath revealed it unto thee. It's not revealed, dear soul, by man. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father is which is in heaven. So, disciples, I don't want you going out just reiterating some quote-unquote religious confession of faith, but I want you to preach it only by the power of the Holy Spirit as you believe it and as it is given to you by the Holy Spirit, then you preach it. Don't just go out and tell men. I think one of the most detrimental things that has happened to America, and we are in the aftermath of it, was this easy believism movement, this come down the aisle and confess Jesus movement. That's has been a detrimental thing because people have just thought, well, I'll just go to this particular building. Excuse me, I dropped my note. And at this particular day and this particular time, and I do this particular thing, and I walk down an aisle, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. What a mess. And we have filled the churches with unregenerate church members. And so he said, don't go telling men just out of the energy of your natural mind and natural belief. Well, we're going to knock on every door on Thursday night visitation, and we're going to press people to believe and confess. And people say, okay. My favorite program's coming on, and I want these guys out of here. So, okay, I'll just say, okay, I believe in it. And then they go back to the church and say, we have so many saved. And you didn't. And you caused those people to have a false hope. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth. Don't tell any man. Tell no man. Because no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him. And Jesus said, if I reveal the Father to you, come unto me. You believed in God, believe also in me. Come on, John, you can quit weeping because the Old Testament economy is dead and gone. Bring it on to Christ. Come to me. I reveal God the Father unto you. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, we ended out hurriedly. Excuse me, although I didn't need to, but I looked at my watch wrong and thought it was time to close out. We looked at it and were seeing the difference between John the Baptist knowledge of Jesus Christ and being able to stand and say, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Great. Wonderful. That was absolutely necessary. He was the forerunner. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 1. Yes. Excuse me. Dry throat. But then, here he comes. In Matthew chapter 11, and he doubts, art thou the Christ, or do we look for another? So, John can have these signs and be given an understanding of who Jesus is, but dear soul, those signs begin to wear off, and he had to come back, and he needed another revelation. And you need to notice that word again in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 4. The disciples of John said, well, here's what we have been asked to ask you by our master, John the Baptist. He said, what is it? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This is verse number 4 of Matthew 11. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again, those things which ye do see and hear. He's in prison. He can't see these things. So he's losing the assurance that Jesus is the Christ. He had this assurance, and God gave it to him, and he sealed it by the Holy Spirit when John saw it. And he said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But put him in jail and isolate him, and those signs that John was able to see are now hidden from him, and he begins to doubt it. This is the reason Jesus said that of those that are born of women, of Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11, John the Baptist is the greatest man born of woman. But he said there's coming one who can be the least in the kingdom of God that will be greater than he. Let's look at this man. One of them, named Peter. How did Peter know that Jesus was the Son of God? Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You can say, well, listen, Peter denied Christ. Yes, but he never doubted that Jesus was Christ. He denied Jesus as the Son of God, and he didn't want to be involved in the martyrdom that he was assured that he was going to go through if he stood there at those fires as they were having Jesus scourged by the Roman authorities. He didn't want to get involved in that. So he knew that he was the Son of God by divine revelation. So he did deny him, but he never doubted that Jesus was the Christ. John is doubting that Jesus is Christ because he's losing the signs. Go and show John again what you see and hear. What are you talking about? It's listed out. The blind receive their sight. The lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Why did he say that? Blessed is he that shall not be offended in me, because John was beginning to be offended in him that maybe I missed it, maybe this is not the one. Why did he say that? Because his revelation of God was based upon these things that they did see and hear. But Peter's was based upon that which the Holy Ghost revealed unto him. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto you like it was revealed unto John the Baptist. But my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto you. So Peter, as the least in the kingdom, is greater because he has the Holy Spirit to reveal it unto him. And he is greater than John the Baptist. There's so much that we want to show you. John chapter 4. There's just so much that I want you to see. John chapter 4 and verse number 46. John 4:46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, a sign. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So he's in Cana of Galilee, the son's sick back in Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal the son, for he was at the point of death. Now listen to what Jesus said. This is John chapter 4 and verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. You need to hold on to that verse. Why did John see? He saw signs and wonders. If you read John chapter 1, beginning with verse 29, where John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. you will read in two different verses, John said, quote, I knew him not. He says that exact same phrase in two verses in John 1, in John chapter 1, following verse 29. I didn't know him personally, but there was going to be a sign given to me that make me know who he was. That's the reason I came baptizing. Well, now that I'm not baptizing anymore, and now that I can't see any more signs, and now that I'm locked up into prison, I'm beginning to doubt. Peter never doubted. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you like it did unto John. But my Father which is in heaven, he's manifested to you. Well, Peter denied him, yes, but how did he deny him? He denied him knowing that he was the Christ, the Son of God. You got to understand that. And listen, in John chapter 4 and verse number 48, Jesus says to this man, you want me to come down to Capernaum and heal your son? Yes, I do. Well, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus brought that out, and we want to show you that even more in John chapter 2. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, I don't care about all these signs and wonders of what you're doing with everybody else, the lame walking and the deaf hearing and all. Please, you're the only hope I have. And when he expressed that kind of faith in Jesus, Jesus in the next verse says, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Jesus healed him long distance. He was in Cana of Galilee. The son was sick at Capernaum. And he says to the father, you're going to be just like everybody else, except I do some miracle, you ain't going to believe me. And the father said, listen, I don't care about all that. I care about my son. I know who you are. I want you to come down and heal him. The only thing the man had wrong was Jesus didn't have to come down. And when Jesus saw that kind of faith and knew that he didn't have to perform anything to get the man to have this temporary faith and temporary belief that John began to doubt from, he said, go thy way. You can go your way now. You don't have to come my way. You don't have to come with me. I don't have to go with you. Go thy way. Thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Dear soul, when you come to have your way to be that which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, you can go your way. The eunuch went on his way after he left Peter in the baptism water. He didn't need Philip to stay right there with him and come on home with me and bolster up my faith and keep it pumped up and keep me believing. He could go his way because he believed the word that Philip gave him. So wherever you are, it doesn't matter what your location is viewing this message. You need to believe the word that Jesus said. And you can then go your way. I was baptized. I joined the church. I was in full compliance with all the things that were necessary to be a member of that church, but I was lost. The problem that I had and the thing that I was missing was I didn't know the Lord. I didn't believe his word. I hadn't heard his word savingly in my heart. I had heard about hell and I didn't want to go there. I heard about heaven and I did want to go there. And I knew that it pleased my family if I would be baptized, so I did. But I remained a lost church member for 7 years. But then God brought his word to bear upon my heart, and the Holy Spirit manifested the glory of God to me. And Jesus Christ revealed his Father to me by divine revelation. And I knew then two things. I knew who he was, and I knew who I was. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. His glory filled the temple, and I said, woe is me. Dear soul, if you ever see God in his glory, you'll see yourself in your lost condition. And you say, woe is me. And you come to know the Lord by revelation, not by education, not by illumination, not by emotions, dear soul, but by the revelation of God. John chapter 2. We keep talking about this. We need to get it done. John chapter 2, the last two verses of John chapter 2, and remove the word chapter and the number 3 and keep on reading like that chapter division was not there, for it shouldn't be. This was a bad division. I like the way the King James Bible is divided up. I like the way the Bible is divided up, because if we didn't say, book so-and-so, chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so, how would we ever be able to find it if it was all just in paragraph form? So they did good, but this is one place they missed. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Oh boy, seeing miracles caused people to be saved. Watch it. That's not what it's going to turn out to be. They had a belief that was not a saving faith. They had a faith that was not a saving belief. And the word believe in verse 23 is the same word commit in verse 24. Let's interchange them. Now, when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many committed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, or go the other way around. That many believed in his name, but when Jesus, when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not believe in them. It was not a mutual saving faith. They had some supernatural, yes, I believe. John saw and came to know Jesus by the revelation of his deed. That which you see and hear, go tell John that he may believe again. You will not believe except I do miracles, he told the man in Cana of Galilee. Jesus, the man said, I don't care about that. Please come heal my son. And he believed the word of Jesus, and the son was healed the self same hour. There's a difference between getting excited about going to revival meetings, going to, exciting meeting. And I've heard them say, come and experience Pastor so-and-so. Come and experience Evangelist so-and-so. Dear soul, you better run away from that as far as you can get. You get involved in all that, and people are clapping their hands and praising in God and saying amen and crying and carrying on, and you get all caught up in that. It ain't no different than if you had a football game to your favorite team and you just won the game in the last 3 seconds. You are giving everybody high five and praising the kicker for making the field goal, if that's what did it, or whatever happened. You're just thrilled to death. You can't hardly stand it. You don't even want to leave the stadium. You want some of these guys to go with you down to the local pub or bar or whatever it is, and keep on going with that emotional feeling. It's the same spirit. You know not what spirit you are of. Now, when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, great excitement. Passover, Jerusalem, feast day. We believe on his name when we saw the miracles that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all. King James added in italics to show you they added it. He knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Keep on seeing the word men and man 3 times in verses 24 and 25 of John 2, and then it appears in what we call John 3:1. that's the reason you need to move that chapter division out of the way, to show you that there was a man. He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and listen to what he says. He was one of those that believed on his name because of the miracles. How do you know? Testimony out of his mouth, recorded in John 3:2. Then the same came to Jesus by night. Who? This man of the Pharisees. And said unto him, Rabbi, not Lord, but you know, I recognize you as a high muckety-muck in the church order. Rabbi, teacher, master. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Uh-oh. You got a problem there, Nicodemus. He wasn't a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. How do you know that? Next phrase. For, because no man can do these miracles except that thou doest, except God be with him. You're not very God. We don't believe that Jesus Christ is very God. We believe that you're a teacher come from God, because you must be, you must have God with you, not that you are God, but you are doing these miracles, so we know God is with you. Jesus said, you know what, man, you got a big problem, and I'm going to help you right now. Have you ever wondered why John chapter 3 and verse 3 just seems to abruptly and precisely go completely off base and off screen, you know, and from what Nicodemus was saying? Here you are, you're thrilled to death, your team won, yeah, you got the championship you wanted in the last 3 seconds, and you know, you're all excited, and this is the same kind of excitement that goes on in religion. Oh, we saw a miracle. The man threw down his crutches and began to walk. And we all just praised and happy and, oh, yeah, yeah. But faith not based on seeing miracles. It will not give you the right manifestation of who Jesus is. We know that thou art nothing but a rabbi come from God. You are a teacher sent by God, and you are a miracle worker because God is with you. Jesus said, you know, I'm going to take some time with you, Nicodemus, and then so that those people that's listening on Grace Baptist Church YouTube, the web channel, can understand and see something about God in the year 2022. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, listen, of a surety, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man, there it is again, Jesus knew all men. He needed not that anybody should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You hadn't seen the kingdom of God. You were all excited. Yes, you went by the stalls and you bought T-shirts and banners and you bought things to bring back to your family. And you go around wearing the T-shirt with the number of the quarterback on it. And you're all excited about it. But you know what? 2 years later, that quarterback don't even play football no more. Now you are stuck with that expensive journey. You're stuck with that expensive shirt, and you're thinking, you know what? That was stupid for me to pay all that money, but I got all excited. Same thing in religion. Well, I went down there, you know, they said, boy, there was great miracles being done out there in Brownsville, Texas, and I went out there and got involved in it, and I bought the books of Dr. Bottlestopper, paid all them high expensive prices for the books on his book table, and got him to sign it. Where is it now? Well, it's stuck on my ship in there. Well, don't you wish you had that money back? Yeah. What happened? All that died out. What was the problem? You didn't see Jesus by the Holy Ghost. You need to be born again. I thank thee, Father, thou hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you have revealed these things unto babes. It's not who do men say that I am. Boy, you should have been there. We had a great time. I just can't explain it to you. I took time off from work. I used up my day's vacations, my vacation day, to be able to go down there. And you know, here you are now, and other people's families are going on vacation during the vacation holiday time, and you're stuck at home because you used your vacation to go to Brownsville, Texas, and see the miracles that were done. What you got now? Old faded, wore-out T-shirt that was highly overpriced that I was glad to pay, but I wish I had the money now so that I wouldn't have to work on the days when I should be having vacation and take my family on some time of relaxation and refreshment. What do you think the parables are about? About the seed that came up suddenly and sprang up. But when the sun came up, it wilted down. There was the seed that was sown on rocky ground. It didn't have any root. But it sprang up faster than anything because there's shallow dirt on top of that rock. And it just sprang up. Come back next week. Where is it? Just that dead piece of, you know, vegetation there. It's just that old piece of straw laying there. But it looked so great when it was first. Yeah, I know. Wise and prudent. It's not who do you think. Excuse me. It's not who do they think. Who do men say that I am? I'll get it right in a minute. But it's who do you say that I am? Dear soul, don't make the same mistake as this preacher. I'm trying to help you benefit from my error. Listen, a wise man learns by others' experiences. Be wise and learn by my experience. And don't be a lost church member like I was. The average man learns by his own experience. I learn by my own experience. The average man. And a fool never learns. Dear soul, you need to be wise and say, it doesn't matter. You know, I sat among religionists and I didn't want to go down there and tell them all I was lost and God just saved me. But dear soul, I didn't want Jesus to stand before the Father and the holy angels and say, I never knew him. He wouldn't confess me before men, so I'm not going to confess him before my Father and the holy angels. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, cast him into outer darkness. Good gracious. Folks, your eternal well-being is at stake. Folks, listen. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is at stake. My soul. Let me go to Mark chapter 6. Let me read you some sobering verses. Maybe you've never heard these verses before. But you need to see these things. In Mark chapter 6. In verse number 41, I think it is. Let's see. Yeah. In verse 41, they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. Mark 6:39. In verse 40, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken 5 little loaves, and 2 little fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them, and they did all eat and were filled. And guess how many baskets full? Listen, they didn't even need one basket to hold 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. We ain't talking about a loaf of bread like on the shelf at your grocery store. We're talking about a little cake-like thing is all that they had. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wouldn't even fill one basket. Guess how many baskets were left over when Jesus got through blessing them? 12 baskets, one for every tribe in Israel. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And listen, the woman says in the next chapter, the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I'd be glad to get hold of some of those fragments. Excuse me. Verse 44 of Mark chapter 6. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway, that means immediately, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the multitude, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. What was he praying about? About these poor people that were all excited about eating and having their stomachs full. It was really something in those days. Listen, they didn't have drive-through windows and takeaway like we do. They were out there in the deserts, and you know, in the wilderness, in the bad locations. They didn't have anything to eat. Jesus fed them all till they got full, and then had 12 baskets left over. But they didn't know who he was. That's what he's praying about. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And that describes to you the great whore in Revelation, 17? About the whore that sits upon the waters. Here is the religious crowd out there in the dark waters of apostasy, and Jesus is alone on the land. Thank you that you didn't leave us alone, Lord. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. The wind speaks of the Holy Spirit. And listen, the lost, unregenerate religionist is at odds with the Holy Ghost. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And listen, and would have passed by them. Ooh. We deserve for Jesus to walk past us. God doesn't owe you anything except hell, and he can pay you off anytime he wants to. Why? Because we denied his son. We spit in God's face in the Garden of Eden. God said, don't touch that one tree. That's the one tree we touched. We got thrown out of God's presence. And he would have walked past us. Just so it's amazing how close we came to total damnation. And would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, ah, it's a ghost. They didn't know who Jesus was. That's the problem. Who do you say that I am? He's some spirit. Listen, we're trying to, isn't it bad enough that we got this wind against us? We row 2 feet forward and we get blown 3 feet back. And not only that, but here comes this ghost-looking spirit thing walking past us and scared us to death, and he was going to pass us by, and we screamed and cried out. Verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. Thank God for grace and mercy. Jesus talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Why are you reading this? It don't seem to go with your message. Stick with me. Verse number 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Why did this happen? They were astounded. They were trembling. They were amazed. They were in wonderment. This was just Jesus. What is going on? I want you to carefully listen to Mark chapter 6 and verse 52. Verse number 52. First word, for, because. Why were they in wonderment, and why were they amazed beyond measure, and why did they cry out and couldn't recognize who Jesus was? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What? That's what it says. Why were they in wonderment? Why were they so amazed? Why were they in the darkness on the sea? Wasn't they seasoned fishermen? Yes. Wasn't these familiar waters? Yes. But, dear soul, that's where you find humankind, out on the troubled waters of chaos, not able to guide ourselves, not able to save ourselves. Everything about the elements working against us, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our only hope, scares us to death. They cried out as if he were a ghost, a spook, a spirit. Why was it this way? Because of their false relationship with miracles. What does it say in Mark 6:52? Let me read it to you again. The first word is very telling. For, because they considered not, they understood not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Good Master, we know that thou art teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said, you need to be born again. God will reveal this unto babes. You must be born again, born from above. Dear soul, your churchanity, your familiarity with your Bible, your familiarity with your preacher and with the traditions of religion, are all going to work against you if you don't come to the person of Jesus Christ. And God is asking you right now, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? You will have to answer that. It will determine your eternal well-being. And if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father and the holy angels. Yes, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you confessed Jesus as the very Son of God and that he is alone your Lord and your Savior? Like that young man that I told you about in the first lesson, he sat there quietly and privately, a good young man, never gave his parents any trouble. It was a delight to see him come into the church house. We didn't know that he was even born again. We didn't know what he believed. We just thought he was a good, moral young man. But having preached on confessing with the mouth, it came to bear upon him, and great conviction fell upon him. Thank God, by the Holy Spirit, not because of churchanity or religiosity. It came to be that it was a personal thing, that he was an offense to the Lord Jesus Christ because he would not confess him before men. And he hurriedly came down and said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is very God. He is my Lord and Savior, but I have not yet confessed him. And he said, I want you to know that I know who you say the Son of Man is, but I want you to know who I now say the Son. Whom say ye that I am? And Jesus, and Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that took the Holy Spirit. You didn't say that by flesh and blood. You didn't say it because your mama wanted you to say it. You didn't say it because you thought the Bible wanted you to say it. You said it because you believed it. You said it because there's an urgency upon you, because there's a love of God in your soul. The fervor of love for God's glory burned in your soul and you could not stop. Woe is me if I confess not that Jesus Christ is very God and he is my Lord and Savior. Isn't that amazing? Oh my goodness. Listen. The Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to you, and you will confess by the Holy Spirit the things of Christ to others. In those verses in Matthew 11 that we looked at last week. Jesus asked questions there too. What went you out to see? Y'all all came out here into this watery place beyond Jordan where there's much water. How did you come out here? You didn't have a telephone. There wasn't any texting. There wasn't any way to send messages. How'd y'all all wind up out here? All of Jerusalem and Jordan came out. The Judea came out. The whole population came out to John. Jesus said, okay, you're out here, but what went you out to see? What is your determination as to why you're here? A man clothed with soft garment? Do you see this man dressed in the robe that we saw those in the Church of England on the TV for the last several weeks, standing before the dead body of Elizabeth II with all the tapestry written on him and the long long robes and all the finery? You ain't going to find John trying to aspire to the elite, because God has chosen the foolish things, the base things, the things that are naught, that no flesh should glory in my presence. What went you out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? John didn't say yea and amen and then change it to nay later. He consistently preached the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't carried about by every wind of doctrine, a reed shaking in the wind. But what went you out to see? A prophet? The man's greater than a prophet. He could actually stand on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and point at Jesus of Nazareth and say, this is very God that takes away the sin of the world. Greater than any prophet has ever been. So we come to know who John is. And then Jesus said, I want you to know who Elijah is. He said, the prophets prophesy and the law was prophesied unto John, Matthew 11 and 13. But if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. The Old Testament ends with Elijah shall come before that great and notable day and turn the hearts of the father back to the children and the children back to the fathers. There's going to be a reuniting of the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They won't be Jews and Israelites over here and Gentiles and, those that are not Jews over there. They'll all be blended in one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is the Elias that was for to come. People are looking for looking for the end of the age to come, and that Elijah himself would come with Moses and say, those are the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses. But Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 says that the two witnesses are the Holy Spirit and the church. And Elijah has already come. Jesus said he did. Who you going to believe? The books you purchased down there at that book table when you got all excited about, the second coming? Oh, Elijah and Moses are going to come back. Jesus said Elijah's already come. And that great and notable day that he comes before, according to Malachi 4 and verse 5, he comes before that great and notable day of the Lord. What is that great and notable day? It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross and say, it is finished, John 19:30. And it is Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And he said, now is the prince of this world cast out, John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. It is the day of Jesus Christ coming to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Listen, friend, we're at the last part of the last age. Elijah came 2,000 years ago. He was John the Baptist. You read Luke chapter 1 and verse 17 and understand that John the Baptist didn't come in the person of Elijah. He came in the, quote, spirit and power of Elijah. And that's what he asked. Who do men say that I am? They think you're Elijah. No. John the Baptist is fulfilling the prophecy of Elijah coming of Malachi 4 and verse 5. And he's going to turn the hearts of the people back to God. John chapter 10, John the Baptist is the porter that opens the gate and delivers the sheep unto the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing is not about to begin, it's about to be over. And you need to do that which thou doest quickly while thou art in the way with him. Dear soul, listen to Christ today. In that humble setting where you are right now, sitting on that couch, sitting in that chair, watching it on your iPhone or wherever, whatever you're watching it on, your pad, you need to bow your heart and say, I confess that Jesus Christ is very God. Because no man knows the day nor the hour. He said, well, then you don't know the day or the hour, preacher. He said, but you need to be careful as you see the day approaching. I can see the day approaching. And you need to be urgent. And Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 says, while it is called today, harden not your heart as they did in the day of when they provoked God. Why were they denied and rejected? Because the word of God was preached unto them as well as unto us, but it was not mixed by faith in their hearts to them that heard. Just so, do you have an ounce of faith? Do you have an ounce of belief? Can you possibly say in your heart of hearts, excuse me, I knew that was coming. Can you say in your heart of hearts, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Excuse me, friend. Allergies and air conditions never have set well with me. But nevertheless, can you say that I believe that Jesus is the very Son of God and he alone is my salvation and I will trust in no one else? No other name given among men, given under heaven among men, whereby he must be saved. And dear soul, let's finish out Revelation chapter 2. How you going to know who you are? Isaiah didn't know who he was till he saw God high and lifted up, and then he said, woe is me. I didn't know who I was. I thought I was a fine little moralist. And that God was glad to have me, that it was the favor of God for me to join the church. And I didn't know that I was a wretched sinner, saved by the grace of God alone. Revelation 2:17, verse 16, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, a new name written. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Cephas, thou shalt be called Peter, upon this stone, this rock. He said, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Do you know your identity in Christ? Do you know your identity in Christ? Are you identified by who was the son of, who was the son of? Well, yeah, we've done our family tree, and my granddaddy did this, my great-granddaddy did this. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you know your lineage in Jesus Christ? Is God your father? Is Christ your elder brother? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Dear soul, we need to come to the Lord. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. We need to answer the question, not only, who do men say that I am? Man, we can tell you that. Okay. What about this question? But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, we've gone about the same length of time we did in our first lesson. But I feel like God is through with us. And God has said what he wanted to say. I pray for you, and I trust you will continue to pray for me and the others who hear this broadcast, and that God will open up his heart to them and will manifest himself to all of us, because he comes quickly. Our dear brother Bobby Quick is coming now to give a song to the worship of the Lord. You pray for him as he comes.
Found.